at where I'm coming from. I know I'm blessed, and I close my eyes and smile. Sometimes I feel like the richest man in Babylon. And I've done my best, so everything's alright inside.
So welcome back to another episode of the Animus podcast. Today we're going to be talking with Dimitra Tziani about her experience at the Animus Summit. We're also going to be looking at her work with young entrepreneurs as a coach and how she enables them to really find themselves and set up their business. We're also going to be taking a look at all of the mistakes that she's made on her journey too. Hi Dimitra, it's great to have you here. I think the last time I saw you was at the Animus Summit.
Yes.
And you're on stage talking about social impact. So how did you find the summit day?
I think it was brilliant. It was a day full of inspiration and full of information and full of meeting amazing people that, you know, I just feel very blessed to be part of this community. And I feel very lucky to have found you guys.
We're lucky to have you as part of the community. I think there were about 150 members of the Animus community there that day. Or maybe more, actually.
Yeah. It was a full room.
And so what was your sort of key takeaways from that day?
Oh, my goodness. Too many, you know, things I learned on that day. First of all, I learned that there's so many brilliant coaches out there, Animus coaches, but they all do completely different work from each other, and they all bring their own, you know, background, skills, and vulnerability at the same time. To what they do, and they're honest, and they're very happy to share information. And for me, that is just a great blessing to have, you know, just to be able to meet all these people who are happy to help you and happy to contribute in what you do.
Lovely. And you were there talking about social impact and the work that you do with young entrepreneurs. So why don't you give me a little bit of a sense of what that is?
Mm-hmm. So I'm working with young entrepreneurs who are from 16 to 30 years old, and they come from all walks of life. They're all based here in London. They have different backgrounds, different life stories, and all of them, they want to change the situation they are at the moment and, you know, create something good for themselves and create a business ultimately. So my work with them is mainly to work around their confidence skills, their leadership skills, their entrepreneurial skills, and also to give them business information, because I used to be an accountant before.
Okay.
And so we set the foundation so that they can go out there and create a business.
So when you talk about entrepreneurial skills, how might you describe an entrepreneurial skill?
Mm-hmm. First of all, it comes from knowing yourself, knowing what it is that you want to do, what is the vision that you have. So in order to be an entrepreneur that is going to stay there and be able to handle all the challenges, you need to know where you're heading. So your vision, your purpose needs to be somehow clear. And then being aware that you might lack confidence, you might lack certain skills like communication skills, presentation skills, even motivation to do the work. It's a great thing. So we work around those kind of skills.
And is that a program with a group, or do you work one-to-one? How does that sort of show up?
So I work mainly one-to-one with them, but there are also plenty of workshops that we run, and I run along with the other coaches, as well as group coaching programs and very intense business programs as well that they can join.
So I'm sort of wondering, how did your sort of Animus experience help you to become sort of that entrepreneurial coach?
Plenty. So when I joined Animus, I want to create a business for myself. And at the same time, I knew that I want to become a coach. And during that period that I was still a student, I was thinking, how can I combine those two? You know, I used to be an accountant. How can I combine all this business background I have with the coaching that I'm learning right now, the coaching skills? So I just, you know, somehow set that vision very clear for me. I said, I'm going to work with entrepreneurs, and that's it. And this is what I went for. And within literally a month after I've said that, I started working with this business incubator in South London, and I'm working with them since then.
Oh, wow. So that's been quite a long period of time for you.
Yes. It's been brilliant. 2 years.
Brilliant. And you said part of what you wanted to do was to set up your own business. So what's your business?
So my business was to still do the work that I do with this business incubator, but through my own company. And I launched this business last year. But this was a great learning experience for me because I realized that this is not what I really want to do through my own business. I want to work more on building the leadership skills that you want to build rather than the business.
Okay.
Rather than helping others create a business. So my focus before was helping you to create a business, but now it's more about confidence and mindset.
So your business is as a coach that works with around their confidence and around their mindset.
Yes.
And I know that you were talking about before sort of setting up websites and the challenge of setting up your website when you don't quite know what you're doing or where you're going. So how was that for you?
Oh, my God. That's an amazing experience because I did all the mistakes I could do. And while I was advising my own clients to avoid these kind of mistakes.
Okay, so you're telling people what not to do whilst doing it.
Exactly.
So what happens there? How does that take place?
It's just amazing, you know. You just need to learn by doing mistakes. So I know by the book that, you know, if you want to launch a business, you shouldn't just go out there and invest money and time on a website and things like that before you have tested that this business idea, you know, has a market out there. I know that, you know, from all this business background, but I don't know it in practice. So I decided to do all the mistakes that my clients, you know, were doing at the same time. So we were on the same level, more or less. They were launching a website, and I was telling them, don't do that before you know. And I was launching a website before I knew.
So what did you get from making those mistakes or doing things before uni? Because like you said, there are lots of books that say, you know, have your plan, have your vision, know what your market is, and then create your website. Mm-hmm. But you're doing it the other way around, creating the website and not knowing who it was for.
Yeah.
What did you learn from that?
I learned that, first of all, what the book say is right. And also I learned that I had to go through this kind of process because this process helped me to build my own confidence. It helped me to accept failure, and it helped me to accept that, you know, that I need to grow as a person. I need to know myself a little bit more, and I need to, you know, admit that, you know, I don't know everything.
I'm curious about how the learning that you've gone through in terms of the mistakes that you've made and the learning about yourself, how that shows up in the work that you do with your clients.
So my empathy has increased quite a lot, and I get this sense of understanding their own issues, their own challenges, much, much better now than before. So, for example, yesterday I had a client that came in, and she hadn't launched her website, she hadn't done the homework we had agreed together, and she was really overwhelmed. And I believe that a year or 2 years ago, I would have been a little bit more, you know, superficial and more strict about, oh, if you want to launch your business, then you should really do the work. But instead, I could really sense how stressed she was. And I just told her, you know what? The only thing that matters is your health and your balance. So if this doesn't make you feel balanced, just stop doing it for a while and do things that will, you know, will make you feel happy again, and it will make you feel balanced. So I think it was really, really good for her to hear that and to give herself permission.
So one of the things I'm hearing there, that part of what you do is about helping them build their business, but you're also looking at who they are as a person.
Yes.
That kind of holistic kind of view. So, you know, what would you, when you think about how you work, how do you see that developing in the world? You know, your style or brand of coaching, what do you hope for that?
Mm-hmm. So because I've been a person that in the past 5 years I've been looking for my purpose and I'm trying to do things that they always make sense of who I am and what I want to create in life. I believe that for me the most important thing is to allow yourself to know yourself. And for me, there are many people out there that they do amazing work, but at the same time, their lack of, you know, balance and self-knowledge doesn't allow them to fulfill 100% the impact that they could have. So in the future, I see myself helping those people to, you know, to develop the lifestyle and the leadership skills they want to have, so that they can be balanced and happy themselves first, so that they can help others subsequently.
Okay, so working with people that want to help others, but getting a sense of who they are first before they move into the world of leadership and business with other people. So I kind of wonder, where do you find those people? How do you talk to those people? Because I get that you've gone through the journey, and people that are in the business incubator are part of that kind of wanting to create business, and you can support them and explore them with them to work on themselves. But in terms of your own business, how do you access those people or get them to find you?
These people are everywhere. I think the most important thing for me is just to go out there and speak about what I do. And people, you know, people come to me either through word of mouth mainly, or through, you know, things that they see I put out there. On LinkedIn, for example, sometimes I publish blogs, or my social media are there and people contact me. But the most important thing is that just knowing what the needs are for people, but at the same time, knowing what they want. Because people usually want something else than what they need. And it's just knowing how to approach people and let them know that, this is what you want and this is how I can help you, but in reality giving them what they really need.
Okay, so it's almost like you have an understanding of what they need will also help them get what they want. Mm-hmm. Nice, and I like that sort of that balanced way of thinking. And you spoke about getting out there and talking to people, and I'm aware that one of the things that you do is the whole retreats. So tell us a little bit about your retreats.
So I launched my first retreat just a few months ago. And so this was an amazing learning experience for me, because I rushed into launching a retreat without having really set the foundations of, you know, what does it mean to launch a retreat? Because it's a lot of hard work. And even if you think about the logistics, it takes a couple of months to figure out how you're going to run a retreat, especially if you do it in another country. And then it takes a lot of time to market this retreat. And the most important thing is to have built already an audience so that, you know, people will be happy to buy this retreat from you. So this experience from this really small retreat I ran back in my country, it just, you know, it made me understand that it's not important to just launch a retreat with a plan that you have in mind, but to be out there and ask your potential clients before you even launch, what is this that you really need? How can I help you? Because I had, you know, so many features in this retreat that people didn't really need. So moving forward, of course I want to run retreats. And I've learned so much through this experience, and I'm just grateful I did all the mistakes I could.
So there's something really lovely that I'm hearing here from you, is this notion of you kind of going out there and making the mistakes in order to understand what it is that you want to do.
Yes.
So what mistakes do you have lined up next?
I love this question. There's so many things lined up next. So right now I'm rebranding and relaunching. So I'm taking time to think, what is this that, you know, my coaching practice is about? Because I'm doing so many different things at the same time, and I like so many different things at the same time, that this is confusing, and, you know, it makes me feel that everything should be in the same business, but this is not, you know, what the clients want really. So right now, I'm just taking time to reflect and really understand who are the people that I really like 100% to work with, and what is the change I want to create? What is the impact I want to have? And I'm just taking my time, and I don't know if this is a mistake. We will find out.
Lovely. So you're doing the rebranding, and I think there's something really important there for coaches or any kind of sort of business person, this notion of everything doesn't have to happen in the same business. I know a lot of coaches get caught up in trying to work out how can they do everything in their coaching business, but actually you can have multiple businesses that speak to the different audiences that you work with. So you got the branding going on. What what other mistakes have you got, or adventures have you got lined up?
There are quite a few things that I want to do differently. So first of all, I love working with entrepreneurs, but now I know that this is not the only thing I want to do, you know, because I come from a corporate background and I have all this amazing experience of, you know, like 7-8 years of work where I learned so much about myself and how people collaborate and how, you know, you can lead others in a way that it doesn't intimidate them or it doesn't insult them. So I learned that this is a wealth of experience I have that I can really, really use for good. And I'm planning to really expand and start working with organizations and just go there and name all the things I couldn't name when I was an employee.
Ah, okay. So going back into that environment to name the things that you couldn't name. Mm-hmm. So what was your experience of being in those environments before you sort of went on your coaching learning journey?
It was a very, very intense, challenging period for me because, you know, corporations have so many employees. There are so many different people with so many different interests, if you want, or different, let's say, vision for the future. And it is, of course, it's very... the hierarchy is really strong in this kind of environments, and I don't say that it's not good to follow rules. It's amazing to follow rules, but as long as these rules are not, you know, really outdated or they don't intimidate people. I use this word for a second time, but you know, this is what was going on mainly. Mm-hmm. And I, for example, I remember my first day in a working environment where I just talked to my manager and said, hello, you know, I'm Dimitra, and, you know, just let me know what your working style and how you want to work. And then she started, you know, just telling me that you should never come to me again and face me, you know, look at me and tell me that, you know, how you should work and stuff like that. You should know already. And this kind of, you know, experiences made me understand that, you know, there are people out there that they are managers, they're leaders, but in reality, they have their own security, they have their own internal things going on that they cannot really name, they cannot address, because this environment is so strict that you always have to show that you're perfect. So they take this kind of like intensity that they feel, you know, onto their employees.
So it's amazing to hear how you're sort of going back into the world that you came from. So I suppose, what was that moment when you were in that world that made you think about becoming a coach?
So this moment didn't happen when I was in that world. So I quit that world because of certain situations at work that were really, really not good for my health anymore. And I spent a year exploring what it is that I want to do in life. And at that year, during that time, I just couldn't find what this was, you know. It was just so difficult for me. So then I had to get another job because, you know, I had run out of money. and this is how I moved to London, actually. And I became part of... I became an associate of this leadership program that helped corporate professionals to move into the social enterprise world. And that moment, during that program, they provided us with coaching.
Okay.
And this is how I found out about coaching. And I was like, my coach is an amazing person, you know. She's doing an amazing job. And actually, she told me, I think you should become a coach. But I couldn't believe that, you know, at the time. And then, you know, following the end of this program, I realized that this is who I am. I'm a person that naturally likes to listen to others and naturally likes to share experiences that might be useful. So this is how I started, you know, researching. I went to some other schools. I couldn't connect. And then I remember that discovery day with Nick at Animas. And I just liked so much his approach and the style. You know, it was so real, honest, authentic, and so human. You know, I felt like there's nothing salesy here, you know. So I just felt like I'm going to sign up to this school straight away. And this is what I did.
Brilliant. So you came, so you had a coach that kind of turned, inspired you about becoming a coach. You did your research and found Animas, found Nick Bolton on the Introduction to Coaching Day that gave you a sense of that sort of real humanistic way of working. Signed up. And what was your experience? So you signed up, you began learning about being a coach. What was that like, Animas?
Oh my goodness. First of all, I loved each training I had with you, Robert. I think it was the most life-changing thing for me. You know, I think it's the best investment ever. I remember at the day of at the end of the first day, I went home and I just wrote down all my feelings and how I felt about all the things that you talked to us about on that day. And I remember that I felt like I'm being reborn again, you know, and I just found my purpose. This is what I'm going to do in life. And yes, it feels right. And yes, I love these people that I'm going to meet for the next six months, you know, every month. And I felt that this is honest. This is real.
And was there a favorite moment in there, or a moment that you sort of go, that module or that process was the one that really speaks to me?
Yeah. I loved all about presence, and I loved all about transactional analysis. I had so many light bulb moments during that weekend. I just couldn't believe it.
So that whole TA stuff about ego states and life scripts and...
Yes, yeah. It was that day, that weekend, that I learned so many things about myself.
And in the learning that stuff, how was it that you were able to apply that to yourself? And what did that do to your sort of how you showed up in the world?
First of all, because I come from such a big family, big Greek family, I have five siblings and I'm one of in the middle. So I never knew how to share what I have in mind without being interrupted by a brother or sister, you know. So first of all, I learned about the games I play with my family, which was an amazing, you know, light bulb moment, as I said. And at the same time, I realized that all these games I play with my family, I then go out in the outer world and I play with others. So if there are moments that are triggered in my mind, you know, that, you know, things happened in my family and someone reminds me of something in my family, then I just become this child that, you know, I'm so scared or whatever. And I was able to start acknowledging these moments and I was able to choose that now I'm an adult. I'm not a child anymore.
Lovely, lovely. And I think the presence weekend really helps with that as well, in that choosing and that self-reflection of what's happening and what's showing up for you in the world.
Yes, absolutely.
So what's your sort of next step now for you?
So my next step is to just go out there and start talking to potential, you know, first of all, collaborators. I love collaborations. And I believe that Animas has amazing, you know, people that I can collaborate with. And we have similar visions so that we can, you know, we can create the impact we want to create together. And at the same time, I just want to go out there and speak to potential clients before I even relaunch my website or any website and just try to understand in depth what is it that people want really and how can I provide that to them.
Brilliant. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today and just exploring where you're at and where you're moving to. Thank
Likewise.
You, Dimitra.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Cheers.
Cheers. With my two hands in the air as far as I can.
sun. I know it is a blessing. Yeah. Lift up my eyes to this, I'm blessed, oh man.